Hey, welcome. This is Dr. Lisa with the Dr. Lisa Solsenti podcast. And today we're going to talk about Easter, and some people call it the Resurrection Sunday, such as myself. And also Passover is the same time of year, but we're going to be talking about candy. So I want to go over the most 8 toxic ingredients that we find in, well, just let's say Easter candy. And in my Dr. Lisa Ask Dr. Lisa blog, we had a question. So it says, Dr. Lisa, I'm worried about all the candy that my child will receive from the Easter bunny. My main concern is that most of the candy he loves has ingredients that I believe are harmful and banned in other countries. Is this true? And if so, what can my son have in his Easter basket? So again, different holidays at this time of the year, we call it different names, we celebrate for different reasons, but let's just talk about that basket or the little bag that our children are gonna get. And about candy, because a lot of misconceptions are that we can't find better alternatives to these candies. And I'm bringing up this topic because what is commonly said to me in the last 30 years doing nutrition and recently in the last several years doing functional medicine is that it's just once a year, or it's just a holiday, or it's not all the time. And what happens is we use this excuse or this justification, and it becomes many, many times. So for example, if we're talking about New Year's and we have a New Year's party and there's food there, right? And then we roll into Valentine's Day for the kids and then there's candy there. And then there's stuff in the schools, right? With parties and birthday parties and things there. And then you're gonna go into the next holiday, which would be, I'm trying to think of the basic American holidays of like, you know, St. Patrick's Day, right? And then there's parties in school and there's things at home and there's things there again and at their friend's house and their sports and their, if they're doing brownies and Boy Scouts and things like that, right? So we get to Easter and you're going to tell me, well, it's just once a year, right? That we're celebrating this, but how much candy have they had up until this time period? And we could just move it forward and I can mention all the other holidays and family functions and things like that. But you get my idea, right? And then when they're just going to have a snack just because they're being good, or you're just going to give them some candy because they're good. So that's what I want you to understand, that misconception that this is just a holiday and it's like these little peeps, these colorful, bright peeps only come out once a year. And the other misconception is, well, there's really no other alternative. Well, that's what I'm here to talk to you about today, is that these colorful Easter bunnies and these bright, colorful peeps aren't really that innocent. And I want to show you that there are alternatives that you can do. If you follow any of my teachings and my workshops and my courses and all the things I have out there, and if you work one-on-one with me, you'll learn that my goal is always to find a healthy alternative, something that you love. So you're not really giving it up, but you're just going to do a healthier version of it if we can do that. And the most common candies for Resurrection Sunday, Easter, Passover do have toxic ingredients. So let me explain. If we start off with the chocolate Easter basket and the little bunny that we put in there, you know, or sometimes it's a cross, or sometimes it's, you know, shaped as something. there used to be the Cadbury egg, the marshmallow chocolate, the peanut butter eggs, right? There's the jelly beans, like the little peep that we're going to talk about. They are very toxic ingredients. So I know we wait all long year to eat a peep, and I know so many people look forward to eating these things. I just think they're so gross. But I want to be able to talk about that. And I do have another post on my blog. It's my Halloween toxic candy post, which is an amazing post actually. And it's gotten picked up by other writers. I've got interviewed on radio stations about my Halloween perspective. So that's a great post too, because it gets into the Halloween aspect and the candies that come out then, which is a lot of the candies, by the way. And I want you to know before I even start, I love chocolate. I'm a chocolate lover. I know there's people who love sweets and who love the sour things or the sweet things. I love chocolate. So trust me, I went through my whole chocolate thing. I noticed what happened with me is I always wanted a piece of chocolate at the end of the day, like a little Snickers bar, a little Reese's. My favorite things were the Reese's peanut butter cups. My grandmother got me into those, and we just absolutely loved those, and they were always my love. But when I started replacing those with healthier versions, I realized that when I went back to the old Reese's peanut butter cups or the old Easter bunny or these conventional milk chocolates, I tasted that they were off. And I started just really going, what's going on? Why do these Hershey Kisses taste weird? Or how come I could eat 20 of these and not feel full? What's going on? I can only eat one or two of like my Justin's peanut butter cup, but why can I go to Reese's and eat like five? So, and not feel full and not feel, like what's the, you know, fulfilled. So I was really, really blown away that when you get into eating real candy and real chocolates, it's a whole different experience. So that's the part I would love for you to be open-minded right now. And being a mother of three sons and one with Asperger's, I had to pay attention to avoid conventional sweets since I knew and I was learning that some of these ingredients that were harmful were linked to health problems, such as tumors, attention deficit, hyperactivity, behavior, neurological issues, right? So, and I had to provide healthier alternatives for my kids, and that's how I got into this for myself. All right, so let's dive in here and let's do it. And if I have a blog with all the words and all the links, again, about Easter candy, so you can go there and you can get the links. If we look at some of the ingredients, we're going to do eight of the main ones, dyes and artificial ingredients. So I do have a blog and I have a podcast on conventional sports drinks. So you might want to look at that because I talk about more in specific the red 2, red 3, red 40, yellow 5, yellow 6, blue 1, blue 2. I go into it a little bit more. The Halloween candy post has it too. These are very toxic to the nervous system. They're derived from coal, tar, and petroleum. And according to the Center of Science of Public Interest, they've been contaminated with cancer-causing chemicals. And yes, just like Maya asked in the question, was that some of these are banned in other countries but allowed in the United States. There's a European Union law that required 6 specific dyes to have warning labels before for the consumption, that they lead to hyperactivity. And so there are standards with the British food standards and the European law that are different from the American FDA standards here, the Food and Drug Administration. So that's true. And you can look up, like, Food Babe is actually really good at this, where she will explain to you how there'll be like foods like goldfish and macaroni and cheese and things like that that the kids love that don't have certain dyes in them and ingredients in them because they're banned there, but here they are, which is really, really frustrating, by the way. And the UK food standards, their industry linked artificial dyes to increasing hyperactivity rates in children, all children, just not children with ADD and ADHD, just all children. And they had a study that talked about the UK food standards linking these food additives and dyes to hyperactivity, inattention, impulsivity, overactivity in the preschool to middle school age. And it wasn't just, again, kids with ADD and HDAD, with all kids. They specifically looked at the orange B dye, and that's actually in hot dogs and sausage casings, and Canada completely banned that. So to answer your question, yeah, it is. Some of these things are banned in other countries and used here. Blue 1, red 40, yellow 5, and 6, they've been linked into allergic reactions. And yellow 5, I believe, is prohibited in Norway and Finland, but I think it's believed here, allowed here. So I really urge you to think about what candies you're feeding your children. I know you love those little peeps, but this is where the artificial coloring comes in here. And so that's what you're doing. You're putting this type of stuff into your child. And there's those gummy bears and the gummy worms, right? And the jelly beans. These are conventional Easter candies linking to neurological problems. And we are contributing to our children's health conditions, and we're making things worse, even skin and allergy and problems like that. So we have to ask, are we making our children sick if we're allowing them to drink drinks and eat candies and eat foods with these dyes in them all year round? And you can't just say, oh, it's just for a certain occasion, because these things are in everything. And a child with a hyperactive nervous system needs to avoid foods with toxic dyes at all costs, no questions asked.
These dyes are neurotoxins that will only impede the nervous system's ability to regulate and integrate appropriately. And neurotoxins are substances that act on the nervous system, producing behavioral, emotional, and body movement abnormalities. So these peeps really aren't looking so innocent, right? Okay, breathe, because I'm going to show you how to debunk the funk, but I'm going to give you all the bad news first. The GMO ingredients, so these are genetically modified organisms with genetic material that's been altered, right? So it's genetic engineering, and many crops today are genetically modified. I do have a post, I believe, or a podcast on organic and GMO and stuff like that that gets into a little more in depth in here, but there are foods that use GMO sources like glucose, dextrose, maltose, fructose, things like that, starches. And these aren't things that we really want in our kids' candies. They use herbicides. One specifically is Monsanto's Roundup. And they've been linked to kidney and liver damage. They've been linked to serious health problems such as tumors. You could actually go to the non-GMO project. They have a list, a great, great tool there where you could put in, I believe, the brand and see if they have these modified organisms in them. Another ingredient is hydrogenated oils, hydrogenated palm oil, partially hydrogenated oils, hydrogenated soy oils. You're looking for the word hydrogenated. And it's one of the top dangerous ingredients in our foods. And they're made when you add hydrogen atoms to a naturally healthy oil. So you could have palm oil or coconut oil or soy oil, and you think, well, it's good, right? It's a plant. And then they bombard it with hydrogen. So they are... it's like a man-made, right? They're doing this. It's done typically by heating it to temperatures like 500 to 1,000 degrees, and then they use a catalyst with some type of metal. It's usually like, I don't know, platinum or aluminum, and this will alter the molecular structure, and you end up with a semi-solid or solid oil, which is partially hydrogenated or fully hydrogenated, meaning did we add all hydrogen into all the spots we could or not? And unfortunately, the product we end up with, this partially hydrogenated or fully hydrogenated oil, and I call it a man-made oil because we're doing this, right, in a lab, they create havoc within the body. They act like sludge in our arteries, and they can damage the arterial walls. They can create plaque. These are the things that increase the bad cholesterol, the LDLs, the heart disease, the cancer risks. They're oils, right? They're man-made, and they're quiet killers, and they're in almost all the processed foods, the fast foods, the restaurant foods, the conventional man-made foods, and the biggest cause of heart disease today is this, hydrogenated oils. This is where it is when you go and get your blood work done and you see, oh my gosh, I need to go on cholesterol pills or statins. And it's like, wait, before we do that, can we just see how much of these bad oils and man-made ingredients, these additives that you eat, because this is what drives everything up. And this, I know this because I've been doing this one for 25 years. And we remove this stuff and the labs come down and the doctors are all happy. TBHQ, it's a chemical preservative for form of butane. It's a preservative and it allows foods to last longer on the shelf. That's what we use it for. Most common in the fast foods, but it's also in candy. I couldn't believe that when I learned that. I knew it was in fast foods, but I was like, candy? Oh my gosh. There was a study in 2008 that linked it to an ability for cancer cells to resist in chemotherapy agents. Another study in 2014 in food chemistry reported that TBHQ can fragment DNA and cause damage to human lung and umbilical cells. Scary for sure. So we don't realize another thing that is not out there is that a lot of the ingredients in food can actually damage our DNA. We start damaging our DNA and our cells. This is how we get things like cancer. In my TBHQ research, the majority of articles I found reported that it can cause anxiety, restlessness, and an aggravation of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADH, symptoms in children. I wasn't able to find specific studies, but we did find that high doses of this clinically related these health problems together. So what the study I found was consuming high doses is between about 1 to 4 grams of TBHQ can cause specific symptoms such as tinnitus, ringing in the ears, and vomiting and nausea. It also led to hyperactivity and asthma, rhinitis, which is the running of the nose, dermatitis, which is rashes in the skin, restlessness, stuff like that. And then it was the long-term dosages of it, which really would be the cellular DNA and the estrogen levels and things like that. So it's one of those ingredients that really, really can affect attention, behavior, and neurological problems. It's kind of a scary one. And it's in candy. It's crazy. Another weird one is PGR, which is commonly used. And this broke my heart because it's in chocolate, because it's an emulsifier. So what it's going to do is look at commercial chocolate. Its purpose is to decrease the viscosity or the thickness of the chocolate. So when you're adding, you know, cocoa in its pure form, the bean, you get it into the powder form, which is like the next step down. And that's really, you know, if you just ate straight up pure cocoa unsweetened, it's bitter. It's so bitter. It's really hard to eat. So they have to add a little bit of sugar to it, right, to make it sweet. But what conventional chocolate does, I know this because I love chocolate, they're going to add the milk and sugar. They kind of melt this all nicely down, right? And Hershey's and Nestle's and all that, they began in 2006 to actually use the PGR as the emulsifier in the chocolate products. And this was done to cut costs because originally they would just use the butter, like cocoa butter. So cocoa at one time was pretty healthy because it was just like little milk, sugar, pure cocoa butter. But they started using this PGR because it's way cheaper. It's an additive, right? And that kind of makes that nice, thick chocolate, blends all the stuff together. So you're not biting into like a bar of bitterness. But the problem resulted in the birth of fake chocolate. And I call it fake chocolate because if you ever eat real dark chocolate, it's just not like the fake stuff. Real chocolate is made from dry roasting cocoa nibs. This creates a cocoa liquor, right? Or liqueur, containing cocoa butter. And that's what they used to use, is that butter to emulsify it. The cocoa liqueur is then pressed and the cocoa butter is removed, but the cocoa butter is then re-added with some vanilla and a little bit of sugar, which makes dark chocolate creamy and yummy. And we call it refined because it is a step or two away from the actual cocoa nibs. You could do nibs because that's the purest form, but it's bitter. So to add a little bit of the butter and a little bit of vanilla and a tiny bit of sugar is where you're going to get real chocolate. That's how you make it right there. The birth of the fake chocolate began with these commercial companies using emulsifiers, such as PGR. They also use emulsifiers like soy lecithin, hydrogenated oils, which are bad, we just talked about that, instead of the cocoa butter, which is the pure yummy stuff. I guess the FDA required Hershey's at some point, I think that was about 2007, to label, in their labels, they had to put made with chocolate. Today, the U.S. requires commercial chocolate products to have 10% chocolate liqueur. Europe actually wants 25%. That, to me, doesn't even matter because if you just really have that dark chocolate, the way I explained it, it's delicious. And then when you go back to this fake chocolate, you just could taste them. You could taste that it's nasty and it doesn't fill you up. It's not great. Because if you're a chocolate lover like me, you could really, really begin to appreciate the taste of chocolate and you'll know what the fake chocolate tastes like. A real chocolate bar that contains at least 75 to 85% cocoa will have iron, magnesium, copper, manganese, potassium, phosphorus, zinc, selenium. Real dark chocolate is a powerful antioxidant. It's loaded with organic compounds like phenols and flavanols. It's a luscious beauty protector. It actually protects us from cancer. And studies have linked the real dark chocolate to improving blood flow, reducing blood pressure, lowering your cholesterol, lowering the bad stuff that you get on that lab report. You're like, ah! And as a result, the real dark chocolate may actually lower your risk of heart disease, right? So it is a heart-loving candy. And you can find these better candies for your kids than the other stuff. It does the absolute opposite, plus load the neurological problems in there. So I personally always try to choose for me and my kids, or my kids and I, certified organic or non-GMO real dark chocolate. And there are companies I really look that don't use additives and harmful colorings, flavorings, you know, the fake emulsifiers and things like that. So we try to support these companies that are really going to do it the right way. One of them is the Rainforest Alliance certified dark chocolate. They also, some of these dark chocolate companies, they're like the coffee companies, if you look at them right, they'll also support endangered animals' habitats, safeguard the soils, the waterways, they protect their workers, their families, their local communities. They increase the livelihoods in order to achieve sustainability. And what that means is because you're going into these rainforests to get the cocoa beans and you don't want to ruin the animal habitats, the waterways, the local communities. In doing so, they bring them together. So really, when you're buying specific dark chocolate bars from great companies, you're doing a lot for yourself, but also the planet. The mysterious white chocolate is actually not chocolate. It does not contain cocoa. As mentioned above, real dark chocolate is made from dry roasting cacao nibs. The white chocolate doesn't have the cocoa liqueur added back in, resulting in the white chocolate, which contains a very small amount of caffeine while lacking antioxidants and the nutrients that the dark chocolate has. So that really kind of comes from the dark part of it. In the United States, however, the white chocolate must be at least 20% cocoa butter, 14% milk, 3.5% solids. The problem here is conventional white chocolate, like companies like Hershey and Nestle's, they typically use the ingredients commonly refined and toxic. So they like that vegetable oil. They love that PGR. They love all that stuff. And the Easter bunnies, that white chocolate Easter bunny is what I'm thinking about here. And then milk and apple juice, that's something that's usually used in some of this. And if you're going to get really picky here, because we are, the cow's milk can be loaded with antibiotics, growth hormones, GMO. Apple juice can have arsenic ingredients because they spray the apples with pesticides. So if you're not choosing organic chocolates or being as clean as you can with the candies, you could get some other things in here. So I like to keep these wrapped up to 20 minutes, but I'm going to go a little further because I just gave you all the ugly and the bad news, and now I want you to leave with the good news and where to find the toxic-free Easter basket candy so you could have some good things. So there's lots of links in the blog. If you go to my blog on my website, drlisasoulsunday.com, and you click on the blog and you look for the Easter candy post, there's lots of links here, and I link you right to the company. So that's probably the easiest thing to do. And the last time that we have here, I want to wrap this up, is I'm just going to read you the names. But if you want to find exactly where they are, just go to my website. So Easter bunnies, if you need Easter bunnies and the eggs and all that stuff, Lake Champlain, they offer Easter bunnies and eggs in dark milk and crunch chocolate. I tend to like dark. I don't like the milk in it, but some people like the milk chocolate. Equal Exchange Chocolates, they sell fair trade bars that I absolutely love. Surf Sweets, they sell organic candies like gummies and jelly beans, and the jelly beans are made from natural fruits that come in many flavors. There's no fake dyes in there. You've got grape, strawberry, cherry, and orange. There's gummy bears and worms that come in sweet and sour and watermelon. So it's all that fun stuff, all really cleaned up very well. Surf Sweets. The Endangered Species Chocolate, which is actually my favorite chocolate in the whole world. They just stopped selling it at my local food store, so I'm not happy. Loaded with health benefits, but the company has the integrity I talked about protecting their farmers and their communities. You will not go wrong here. They have delicious varieties. I actually love the chocolate mint. Unreal Candy is a really interesting company. They have that healthy version of all the popular ones like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Snickers, Mound Bars, M&Ms. I'm ever so grateful for them. Really, I don't know how we can't be, because we can still get our favorites in the healthier form. So how can a chocoholic be so lucky? Justin's Nut Butter Cups are the most amazing thing on the planet. It's where I began my entire transformation. I went and bought their Nut Butter Cup, which is seriously it's a Justin's Peanut Butter Cup is what I call it. It is actual peanut butter with real chocolate. And I found that I could only eat one of them because it was just so the real stuff and filling. And you can't do that with a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. You could just eat so many of them. So if you just start off with something like that, and if you are if you're a peanut butter chocolate cup lover, start with Justin's and just start there, and then work your way to some stronger candy like the Endangered Species Chocolate. And honestly, just start there to meet that craving, and then when you try to go back to the conventional stuff, you'll be like, ill. And if you're more of a sweets candy, there's those surf sweets. They'll really help you get over that part. And then the Unreal really helps you with the name brand stuff. You also can try Yummy Earth, which you might know this one already because it's a little more popular. But they have lollipops, jelly beans, all things sweet and yummy, gummy worms, gummy bears. And they actually have, I think, candy-shaped bunnies in their Easter line. I actually use the lollipops. I buy them in bulk on Amazon or through the company, depending on which way I can go. And I have them in my office for the kids. So you also can visit your shop, your local health food store. They have a ton of candy that's usually pretty clean and an alternative to the conventional stuff. Or check the health food aisle in your local supermarket. Like I just said, that's where I get my Justin's. They sometimes have Yummy Earth. Mine just stopped selling endangered species. So I want to just smack them if I could, but I can't. Surf Sweets, they have alternatives to those, but those, that's just such a great brand. I believe that is it for this one. And I know it went a little bit longer, but that was a lot of information. I really wanted you to have that before the holidays start rolling around, and make sure you check out the sports drink blog or podcast. There's a Halloween candy blog because they help you with the more reasoning and diving in deeper to what some of these additives are all about. And I believe there's an additive, a food additive podcast, because I talk about food additive. We have food additive testing, and we also have like food sensitivity. So there's a lot in my podcast. So go have some fun and enjoy, and start thinking about swapping out those peeps and those Easter bunnies this holiday. Thank you.